I'm speaking today with Nicole Botten, president of the Northern Bear Awareness Society. Nicole, thank you so much for talking with me today.
Hi, Kate. Yeah, thanks for contacting us.
So to start off, could you maybe introduce yourself and tell us a little bit about the work you do with the Northern Bear Awareness Society?
Okay, yeah. I've been involved with the society for many years now, ever since I took a job as a summer student. I'm not going to say how long ago that was, but I'm currently the president of the board of directors, and I work cooperatively with a group of several other dedicated volunteers to just keep the goals of our society on track and moving forward.
And what are some of the goals of the society?
Well, the society was started in 1998 in response to high numbers of bears that were destroyed by conservation officers each year due to basically perceived potential for bear-human conflicts in the city and in the regional district. So the founding members, working closely with conservation officers, bear biologists, and local governments, established 7 main goals that we still follow now. And the focus is to reduce those numbers of bears being destroyed, but we do this by a big part of what we do is public education to prevent the bear-human conflict, mostly by reducing what we call backyard bear attractants, things that really shouldn't be out there, and like garbage, bird seed, fruit trees, things like that. We also just want to promote the understanding, appreciation, and tolerance of bears because they're always going to be living in our city. It's excellent bear habitat here. And then, of course, we talked a bit earlier about bear smart status. This is something that is also a goal of our society that we want to achieve for the city of Prince George.
Yeah, so what is this bear smart status, and where is Prince George in its journey to get there?
Okay, it's a program developed by the province of BC, and it has, I think it's 6 criteria that communities need to fulfill in order to attain bear smart status. And it's a big deal to actually attain it because it's not super simple to get it. And what it means if you achieve it is that your community has shown dedication to wanting to be, lack of a better word, but the 6 steps are, first of all, to prepare a bear hazard assessment of the community and surrounding area. So Northern Bear Awareness did this back in 2008. We hired a bear biologist to produce a professional report. And then we also hired her to do the second step, which is a human-bear conflict management plan designed to address the bear hazards and land use conflicts that might be identified in the bear hazard assessment. So that was done in 2009, and these documents were recently updated because, as you know, a good amount of time has passed. So the third thing is revising planning and decision-making documents to be consistent with the Bear Human Conflict Management Plan. And this is in the hands of the City of Prince George and the Regional District as well, I suppose. It's been an ongoing thing that they're working on continuously. So I think that they've made pretty good progress on that, but there's still a bit of work to do. The fourth step is a continuing education program, which was implemented in the year 2000. So the Northern Bear Awareness Society takes that on, and we do it every year. Number 5, develop and maintain a bear-resistant municipal solid waste management system. And so this is the one that is probably the main one that is a hurdle we still need to overcome. The city of Prince George has to make a few changes. They've been working on it in the last couple of years. So I believe it was 2019, they did a pilot project with some bear-resistant bins in a neighborhood, and a UNBC student helped do a study to monitor it and see how effective it was and how easy it was for residents to use. So that's good progress. And then the final one is implementing Bear Smart bylaws. So the city passed a bylaw in 2009 regarding leaving municipal garbage cans out at the curb overnight. So you're not allowed to leave them out overnight. And so that's a big deal, but it needs a bit of work. They still need to tweak the bylaws a bit, and it also needs to be enforced. So the city is moving ahead with that as well, because they've teamed up their bylaw enforcement officers with the Conservation Officer Service so that they can actually start to enforce that bylaw, which is a big step. So that's all the steps. It's a lot. But we've made great progress over the years. Northern Bear Awareness has been key in doing it, and the city working with us together. It's moving along slowly but surely.
Yeah, so obviously it involves quite a lot of partnership, you said, between individuals, residents of Prince George, and of course the municipal and also regional governments. Has there been kind of a sustained level of support at the municipal or regional level? Do you find it kind of ebbs and flows with the changes in city council and that kind of thing?
Oh, yeah, that's a great point. You kind of hit the nail on the head. Mm. That is one of our main challenges that we've had over the past, I guess it's 20 years now or so, exactly. As councillors come and go, we kind of have to contact them and talk with them and just make them aware of the whole Bear Smart idea. City staff as well, they tend to sort of... usually we have some city staff members who have been there for a long time and they know what's going on with it. So that's good. Sometimes there's some turnover there too, though. So sometimes some of the things get forgotten. For example, the Waste Management and Parks Department were changing out garbage cans in parks over the years. They do one or two every year because they're pretty expensive, the proper bear-resistant ones. So they basically had them all changed over in all the parks. But every once in a while, we spot a garbage can that's not bear-resistant and somewhere in the city, and we have to kind of just remind them, like things like that. But yeah.
So it requires a little bit of follow-up on the part of the society to kind of make sure the city's keeping this as a priority in the forefront.
Yeah. Yeah, we do have to kind of get in there every once in a while, just little reminders.
So... I'm interested to know, what are some of the most detrimental misconceptions or misunderstandings about bears that you encounter in, particularly maybe in your education programming, that kind of need to be challenged or mitigated in order to keep bears safe in our city?
Okay, well, I'm not sure about misconceptions. It's hard to say. Some people do have different ideas about bears. Like, there are people who think they're cute and there are people who think they're scary. So those are two ends of the spectrum. So one of our goals is to promote tolerance of bears, especially in the urban environment, because as I mentioned earlier a little bit, Prince George is prime bear habitat, even with all these people and buildings here. You know, we're situated at the confluence of two major rivers, and the city's rich in green spaces and parks connected by trails and natural corridors that bears use on a regular basis. I think you said that you've had some bear encounters yourself, and it's quite possible. I think most of the time people might be quite concerned about it, but in general, the bears don't honestly want to have too much to do with people. If you see a bear, they're more likely to run away from you or just sit where they are, unless, I mean, there are always exceptions. Mm-hmm. But generally, if they come into neighborhoods, they're following their noses to unnatural attractants, such as garbage, birdseed, fruit trees. But they'll definitely keep on going and pass right through if there's nothing to entice them any closer to homes. So they're not usually a danger to people.
So is part of the education piece... kind of teaching people how to behave when they encounter a bear? Is that part of the education?
Yeah, we do address that from time to time. In the past, we kind of kept it out of our mandate because we didn't want to get into the whole bear safety thing in case there were some liability issues. But now we realize that it goes hand in hand with the whole urban bear attractant issue. So we do talk to people about what to do if they see a bear in the woods and how to prevent bear encounters.
More. So I'm interested to know, of course, we know that environmental factors impact how and how often humans and bears interact. What are some of the most pressing issues to address in order to achieve a more peaceful coexistence? And how much of that is dependent on policy at the governmental level versus industry versus individual practice or the practice of individuals?
Okay, wow, that's a good question. So a big part of it, you're right, does come down to the individual, which is why Northern Bear Awareness has spent so many years focusing on public education. We teach school children and the community groups about managing bear attractants. But there does seem to be a limit as to how far public education can go, as many groups find with like educating people about anything. So there are always some people who don't want to do what we ask them, right?
Mm-hmm.
So that's why it's also essential that policies are implemented, and bylaw officers and conservation officers will have something that they can enforce with a threat of a fine, which is what speaks to some people. And it's also important to have Bear Smart policies incorporated into municipal planning documents. So as I was talking about before, so that these things don't get forgotten mm-hmm. with staff changeovers. And so, as we've seen before, but as far as industry goes, I suppose, I mean, that does changing of bear habitat due to logging and other industrial practices does have some impact on how bears are moving in and out of our community. But it's not so much something that we think about when we're doing our urban bear kind of things.
Mm-hmm. And also, I'm wondering, for example, this year we're having kind of unseasonably warm late February and early March. Do bears react to those above average temperatures? Does that generally mean that the end of hibernation comes earlier?
It could. So sometimes when they're hibernating, it's not like a total true hibernation. It's called, they're in a state of torpor, and they can wake up in the winter sometimes, and they've been known to kind of come out of their dens and check out the world, and then hopefully, usually they'll go back to bed if it's still winter, and especially if it's warmed up a bit like it has now. Generally, we don't see them coming out until most of the snow has melted. But yeah, they can venture out, especially with the longer daylight and warmer temperatures. So it's best to be, you know, aware, especially if you're out in on a trail somewhere, if you have a dog or something, you know.
Mm.
I'm sure and I hope that people have heard that it's not a good idea to have a dog off leash, because they find a bear, they can bring it back to you. And another thing, also in the city, we ask people to take down their bird feeders pretty soon, because when they do come out, the bears are going to be very hungry, right? And they're looking for the easiest meal they can find. And bird seed as an attractant actually surprises a lot of people. They don't realize that, that the bears have a really strong sense of smell, of course, but bird seeds are a great meal, full of calories. So yeah, they could be venturing out pretty soon, I think, with the temperatures that are forecasted.
That's good to know. And just to wrap up, how can people find out more about the Northern Bear Awareness Society, the work you do, and how to better their own bear awareness?
Well, we have a website that is full of all kinds of information, including our mission and constitution. Those documents I mentioned before, the Bear Hazard Assessment and the Conflict Management Plan, are on there, as well as this amazing map that we do every year of all the calls that the conservation officer receives on a map of the city, so you can see where bears are being spotted. So the website is www.northernbearawareness.com. That's probably the best way. We also have a Facebook page. You can look it up either through our website or just search for Northern Bear Awareness Society.
That's great. Nicole Button, thank you so much for talking with me today. I appreciate your time.
Yeah, well, thank you.